From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
All right. It is another Friday, and we survived the winds of yesterday to get another beautiful blue sky in the Albuquerque area. So glad you tuned into ABQ Connect. I'm Steve Ryman. And just a reminder, with all the fall festivals, harvest things, I said it, I think, with Abby on the air the other day, just to offend no one or everyone, we were calling the events Fall Vestaween. So figure out whatever it is, a trunk or treat. But we have put several of the local free events on our webpage at klyt.fm. You can go there and find out what might be right for your family as we head into this weekend. And with that, we welcome into studio the president of John Moore Associates, Brian Cochran. Brian, thanks for taking the time every week, not just this week, but you're in studio. We get a full hour.
Yeah, let's have some fun.
Yeah. So are you all set for the weekend?
I am. Unfortunately, yeah. I'm missing Halloween with the kids. I've got to run out of town on business on Monday night, so I'll get some, eat my candy bars in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I live in a neighborhood that actually, there's not a lot of activity. And, you know, I think what we're finding is a lot of families are finding some of these events to go to, mm-hmm. That are maybe a little safer venues. So actually things are pretty quiet around the house over a weekend like this. But there's always does seem to be an added amount of sugar, which is, you know, kind of normal for this time of year. But, and as mentioned that this time of year, you know, we go through, the state fair, which brings on the balloon fiesta. Next thing you know, we're dressing up silly and hanging lights. And along with that, a lot of people start thinking about what they should do with their finances.
Yep, and there's some good year-end items. I think there's some things that are year-end that always apply, but what I thought we'd talk about today is what are some year-end planning opportunities specific to a challenging investment market like what we've had this year, yeah, where the economy's been rocked with some high inflation and low stock markets. So what are the specific opportunities when markets are bad?
Okay. Well, where would you like
tax losses? So maybe we can start that refresh there. So what we had talked about last week was this idea that if you have investments that have declined in value, this may be an opportunity here before the end of the year to sell some of those assets at a loss. And by doing so, you might even get a tax write-off. So you can write off up to $3,000 of tax losses. So these would be investments that have declined in value that are not in a 401k, an IRA, or a Roth IRA, things that have tax shelter, but things that you might own in just a personal account or a joint account with your spouse. And so there's opportunities there to sell and realize losses, which for a lot of our clients has been a welcome relief, because last year with the market so strong, we had a lot of capital gains where they were maybe owing taxes on their investments, whereas this year those losses have become a write-off.
Okay, and you know, as we head through this, Brian, too, and I hope this is okay. The content we're going through today, and when we're done, not only will it be available on our website at abqconnect.online as we archive the shows, but you prepare content like this regularly that's available. Where can people find that?
Yeah, our website, johnmoore.com. There's a tab there called Insights, where we post blog posts, videos from guest speakers, all kinds of good content to keep our clients and the general public educated on all matters of finance that we think are relevant. So most recently, we posted about a 45-minute long video from our favorite economist out of Denver with fabulous thoughts on what's going on in the economy and markets. So great way to learn a little something for free, and hopefully that can drive better financial decisions.
You know, and today we're talking about a subject that, you know, kind of meets with where we are in the landscape. Mm-hmm. But I know regularly you've posted on the website under Insights really things that can be applied throughout the year and throughout the years. Pretty basic. Well, not so much basic. It's in depth. But I'll let you.
Yeah, Steve, I think that's a good point. So I think good financial planning, we like to say, is a combination of knowledge, which is tends to be short term, things you need to know, and wisdom, which are principles that we gather from scripture about how to manage money. So we do have posts on more principle-based financial concepts, things like generosity and contentment and how to view stewardship in multiple generations with handoffs of wealth, things that are, you know, timeless and transcendent. Some of the concepts we're talking about today may not always apply, and they certainly don't apply to everybody. But God's word is full of principles that apply to all people, whether you have $50 in the bank or $50 million in investments.
Right. And, of course, his word never changing, and the principles, that they cover.
And now, they work.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's a great source of wisdom and insight. And we appreciate you looking, to him and his word and then, passing along, some encouragement to all of us. Now, if you just tuned in, we're in studio with Brian Cochran. He's the president at John Moore Associates. And by the way, the information we were just talking about, again, available at no cost at johnmoore.com under the Insights tab. And today, really focusing on 7 year-end planning tips for down markets. And we already touched on taxes. Any more on tax losses, Brian?
I think the big thing there to be careful of is there's something called a wash sale rule. Wash sale. And a wash sale rule says that if you sell something at a loss, so if I own a specific stock or a mutual fund and I sell it and I realize that loss, if I were to buy back that same position within 30 days, that loss gets washed away. I don't get to use that tax benefit of the loss.
Okay.
So if you want to sell something, that's fine. You just have to wait till 30 days, beyond 30 days, to buy it back.
Right.
And what we don't want to do is take advantage of this time to sell and get a loss and not re-enter the market, because that's not the type of market timing we promote. But if you do have the opportunity to take a loss right now, just be cautious about how you reinvest that.
Yeah. So in layman's terms, if you're going to let go, let go.
Yeah.
and none of this, no, wait.
Yeah.
cautiously make decisions, and have them well thought out, with an expert to walk you through it. Okay, so moving on from the consideration for harvesting tax losses, what's our next subject?
The next is somewhat similar, and it's take advantage of down markets to reduce your holdings in a concentrated position. So what do I mean by concentrated position? A lot of times people end up with a lot of one company in their portfolios, in their investments. So it could be that you worked for a fabulous publicly traded company. Like Intel locally is common, where people end up with a lot of Intel stock
because of
various incentives that they get as an employee, which there's nothing wrong with that on the surface. But what can happen is if you stay there a long time, you accumulate a lot of shares, pretty soon you are
not diversified,
and you're really reliant on the single company, and that adds risk. We like to say concentration is a great way to build wealth, but it can also be a great way to lose wealth. So sometimes people are hesitant to let go or reduce a concentrated position, something they own a lot of, because there's tax consequences. Because if they sell it, they have to pay capital gains. Well, in a down market like we're at now, maybe those capital gains don't exist any longer, or at least they're reduced. So a down market might give you a window of opportunity to reduce your exposure if you're over-concentrated into one company or one fund. And again, the idea here is maybe you let go of some of that or all of it, and then you can reallocate to other market investments. And then if we have a market recovery, you will participate in a more diversified manner. But a lot of times these down markets give us that opportunity that maybe we weren't so comfortable with when that stock was worth 10, 20, or 50% more.
And Brian, there is no way in a situation like that to take those stocks and not sell them, but move your wealth somewhere else, or do you have to sell so you have to pay the taxes?
Yeah.
Okay.
You generally can't just exchange them for another stock. You have to execute the sale, which, again, when markets are good and that concentrated stock is thriving, you know, that makes sometimes a very expensive action. So, and we've seen this over the years time and time again where we've advised people to sell a concentrated position. They don't want to because the taxes are expensive, and then that company has some kind of a crisis and really drags down their overall net worth and maybe even impacts their personal finances in a way they never would have thought. So generally, what our rule of thumb is, we don't want any single company to represent more than 10% of your net worth. So if you want to look for sort of a definition of concentrated, and that can happen again, sometimes it's from an employer plan. Sometimes you just hit a home run. You bought a stock that just really went up exceptionally well, and now it's this huge part of your portfolio. And this is an opportunity maybe while things have slowed down a little bit to rethink that.
So Brian, okay, if you're moving funds from a concentrated position, you're not purchasing something else right away, what do you suggest happen with those funds? Like just a simple savings or maybe an IRA? What do you do?
Yeah, Steve, that's a great question. And we've been addressing a similar question for clients all year, which is what do I do with cash now that interest rates are starting to rise? So the quick answer is there's better opportunities now to earn interest than there was a year ago. So what we're recommending is that clients either consider an online savings account, which there's various online banks that are FDIC insured and they keep your funds very liquid and available. And they're generally yielding about 2.5% right now. The other alternative is a money market mutual fund could be a good fit for some folks. And again, I think if with anything like this, consult your personal advisor, talk to somebody about your own circumstances to see what's best. But if you want to maintain some liquidity, we can now do that and actually earn some interest, whereas really since the financial crisis, that hasn't been the case.
So some of those things you talked about, a savings account, what's the time commitment in something like that?
Usually those are fully liquid. So if you need that money back to reinvest or to spend, most online savings accounts are fully liquid where you can have that money back in your checking account within a day or two.
Okay.
And the same with that money mutual fund tool. But definitely don't let it sit at the bank at 0.1 or 0.2%. We can do a lot better than that nowadays. So we encourage people to be thoughtful about that. But again, the general idea here isn't that you would sell that concentrated position and hide it in cash.
Right.
Because then if the market starts to rebound at some point, then you would miss that upside opportunity. And in a down market like this, what we're talking about here is usually lateral shifts. What I mean by that is leaving a stock that may not be the best fit for you anymore, taking advantage of the down market to step away from that stock, but then move to something else, maybe a more diversified portfolio, a different blend of stocks so that when the market recovers, you're in a position that's more intentional. So what we don't want to do is use these tactics I'm discussing as excuses to sell and get out of the market in a fearful response to the volatility we've seen.
Right. Brian, depending on your age, and your 403B or 401K, can you take, funds from sales like that, from a concentrated position, and can you move that into your,
Generally, no, you can't put the names you mentioned, 401k, 403b, those are employer-sponsored plans.
Yeah.
So generally, the only way you contribute to those is through payroll deduction.
Okay.
But what you can do, and we'll cover this as one of the other topics, is it might give you some liquidity, some funds that you can use to fund a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA, which happens outside of your employer. So those are opportunities so that you're staying invested in the markets, but maybe you're getting more tax advantage as the market recovers.
Very good. Okay, so a couple of topics already covered with Brian Cochran. And again, I want to mention if you just tuned in, we're visiting today again, as we do every Friday, typically about a 10 or 15-minute update from Brian. And today he's in studio for the full hour. He's the president of John Moore Associates. And our focus today looking at 7 year-end planning tips for down markets. One of them already we mentioned, considering harvesting tax losses. And we just finished up the topic of taking the opportunity to reduce a concentrated position. Brian, before we move on to our next subject, anything else on that topic?
No, I think that's good.
Okay. Well, listen, before we do move into our next topic, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back with more with Brian Cochran on ABQ Connect.
I'm Kelly, your teacher's assistant for Bible School of the Air. The Bible and the information contained within is of primary importance and deserves our undivided attention. With all of the bad news, fake news, and biased news we consume on a daily basis, it's critical for us to consume the good news that only comes from the pages of Scripture. In addition to the daily lineup of quality Bible teachers heard on KLYT, we also purpose to create an atmosphere of learning while growing in our relationship with God. Each Saturday, starting at noon, KLYT provides verse-by-verse teaching from Chuck Smith, Chuck Missler, and Skip Heitzig. Classes wrap up in final during a Q&A session with Scott Richards. I'll look forward to you joining me Saturdays from noon to 4 during Bible School of the Air here on KLYT. It's tuition-free. Every week is a great week to start. You'll be glad you did.
At Calvary Southwest with Pastor Raymond Thoya, it's our desire to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, souls, and minds, to live out, teach, and walk in the truth of God's Word, and to passionately reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope you'll consider doing this with us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 and 11, as well as Wednesday nights at 6:30, just across from West Mesa High School on Fortuna. Find more details at calvarysouthwest.com.
In a culture that's having an identity crisis, it's time for men to man up and be who God designed them to be. Men who look like Jesus get into community and then get into the community.
Join Man Up at Calvary Church for the ministry launch, Friday night, November 4th at 6:30. The evening's going to include food, teaching, and connection with God and one another. Welcome to the brotherhood.
You're invited to Man Up. Get more details at calvarynm.church.
Calvary Chapel New Harvest is located in the heart of Valencia County and serves the community of Los Lunas and the surrounding area. They gather Sunday morning for worship services at 8 and 10, and the Wednesday night service at 7, led by Pastor David Maestas. Located on Main Street, they also provide programs for kids and youth. Find more details at calvarynhll.org.
John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive.
I have towed many vehicles in for repair, with the customer stating the car just stalled while I was driving. After diagnosing it, I've had to make that phone call many times and state to the customer, you're out of gas and you need to refuel. Many Christians are like that. They need to be refueling daily with God's Word in order to keep themselves moving forward and to have the mind of Christ. Dwight L. Moody was once asked why he urged Christians to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. He replied, I need continuous infilling because I leak. What gauge do you use in your life to know if you're running on empty of the infilling of God's Spirit?
Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, 892-2300 or southernblvdautomotive.com. Thank you, John Chitwood at Southern Boulevard Automotive, for your support of KLYT 88.3 FM.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
All right, so glad to have you tuned in today for ABQ Connect. I know everyone's thinking about candy, and maybe even as I head to the stores this weekend, a lot of people seeing Christmas decorations. Well, with that in mind, we look at to the year end, and today with Brian Cochran in studio, the president from John Moore Associates, we're considering 7 year-end planning tips for down markets. And as we've already mentioned, if you miss any portion of the show today, watch for the archived ABQ Connects online at abqconnect.online, and the content we're covering today also available at no cost under the Insights tab at johnmoore.com. We're talking about 7 year-ending planning tips for down markets. We've already covered consider harvesting tax losses and take the opportunity to reduce concentrated position. And we touched on while doing that, Brian, options when doing that, and one of them that you mentioned was an IRA.
Yeah, so a lot of people.
Here we go.
Yeah, a lot of people will wait until after the new year to make a contribution to an IRA or a Roth IRA for the present year. So the rule there is that if your income is within certain limits, you can make a contribution either to an IRA and receive a deduction this year against your income, or a Roth IRA, again, subject to those limits. And a lot of people know that you can make that contribution for this year all the way through April 15th of next year. So they'll wait. My suggestion is, because markets are currently in decline, we don't know if they've bottomed yet. I'll let you know in a year or two where the bottom was. But, you know, it may be a good opportunity to go ahead and start making at least some of your contributions or all of your contributions into an IRA or a Roth IRA. Which one of those tools is best is very personal based on your income situation, your long-term plans, how much risk you'll take in the investments. There's a lot of factors. So I'm not going to make a strong recommendation of which is better, IRA or Roth. I will briefly describe the difference, though. So an IRA, you do receive a tax benefit this year. You reduce your income, again, if you're within the criteria in terms of your total income. A Roth IRA, you do not receive a tax benefit this year. Those are what's called post-tax dollars. The money you put in is not saving you any taxes today. However, a Roth IRA is tax-free later if you hold it for at least 5 years and pass your year 59 and a half. So your 59 and a half birthday, if you will. So depending on your situation, whether your taxes are higher now versus later, and you can kind of guess that based on your plan, you may have a preference to one tool or another. But the key is maybe consider making those contributions now if your cash flow allows, rather than just holding that money and waiting until April. We tend to get a lot of clients that call us in March and April as they're filing their taxes, and they confirm they're eligible to make these contributions. They just rush and make their contribution then. Maybe this year you accelerate that a little bit.
Okay, so with the Roth IRA, it sounds to me like hold up a mirror, and are you the kind of person that can put it there and leave it there?
Yeah.
You said 5 years?
Really, with either tool, you really are restricted until 59
right.
and a half.
Right.
But Roth IRA, at least 5 years and 59 and a half both have to be met. And really, these are meant to be long-term tools. And one of the keys with the Roth, Steve, is that generally the younger you are, the better off or the more beneficial a Roth IRA might be, because all the benefit is in the growth. Again, I'm not getting benefit today. I'm getting benefit from tax-free growth.
Right.
So for my kids, for example, they've had some jobs here and there where they've received income. So they're actually eligible when they were not even 10 years old to make Roth IRA contributions. So we would do that with some of their funds. So they're already growing dollars that they may take out when they're 60 or 70 years old, that every dollar they grow in that could be tax-free if they if they manage it properly.
I'm struggling to think of, you know, you said this would be good at a young age. Well, I can't think of one that wouldn't be, right?
Yeah, save something. But in terms of, you know, if you're going to save in a Roth and take it out in 5 years, that's a much different benefit than saving it after 40 years.
Right. It's designed for long term.
Yep.
Much like, I mean, you and I were talking a little bit about, you know, 403Bs or 401Ks. The idea is to put it in there and let it grow.
Yep. But again, that's one way. The theme here today is taking advantage of down markets. Hey, one of the ways to take advantage of down markets is to buy, buy assets at lower prices. We often like to say that stocks are the only thing people don't like to buy on sale. So right now they're 20% cheaper or more than they were at the beginning of the year. Why not take advantage now? And if you're going to invest in a way that has a tax advantage, like an IRA or a Roth IRA. And you can just Google IRS or IRA income limits, and you'll find the IRS page that tells you how much income you have to have, the thresholds where you qualify to make those contributions.
And Brian, I mean, I'm thinking of, here I am being selfish. I'm thinking of myself.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you know, when you say that, it's a good time to buy. Well, you know, we're maybe not have as good a plan as some, but the plan that we're on right now, I really don't have a place to buy more, but really not only it's a good time to buy, it's a good time to continue doing whatever it is you're already doing.
Yeah. Assuming what you're doing is a well-diversified portfolio has a chosen risk based on a specific financial plan. Yeah. Then it should be a pretty good set it and forget it. Continue owning what you own. And someone like you who's employed and receiving regular opportunities to contribute every paycheck to their retirement plan, these down markets are actually significant opportunities because you're buying consistently as the market moves lower. You're buying more and more shares. So those are some of the best ways to accumulate wealth.
Now, how different is the investment you'd make in your, you know, the retirement account you have through your employer as opposed to going and doing an IRA?
That's a great question, Steve. And you can really do anything you want. You could go out and buy a CD with an IRA and have very little growth, but some safety and stability. So it's, again, very dependent on each investor's personal circumstances and their objectives. But in general, the same principles apply. You still want to be diversified. One of the benefits of an IRA or a Roth IRA, which is individually managed as compared to a 403B or 401K, is the whole investment universe is at your disposal. So you can go to any mutual fund company. You can buy any stock you might want. There's a lot of flexibility there, and that's a blessing and a curse, right? Because some people don't know what to do with all those options. They make a lot of mistakes.
I would.
Yeah, I met someone the other day, smart guy, brilliant businessman, and he pulled a big chunk of his IRA out and put it in crypto investments right at the end of last year, and he's down 70%, you know, for the year. So that flexibility and the diversity of options can sometimes hamstring you. So the real answer there is you need to work with an advisor or build your own investment process to ensure that what you're doing is intentional and fits within your expectations of risk and return.
Okay, and as a reminder, I've said it a few times during today's show, well, the truth is that people are driving around during their late lunch, and some people join us in the middle of the broadcast. We're visiting today with Brian Cochran. He's the president of John Moore Associates, and we're taking time today to get another financial update, as we do each Friday. But today, the full hour focused on seven year-ending or year-end planning tips for down markets, and again, already covered. Consider harvesting tax losses, take the opportunity, the second subject being taking the opportunity to reduce a concentrated position. And, Brian, I don't know if there's any more on this subject, but we're just, getting towards the end of the, take some of that money, you may be taking out of other areas and moving them into an IRA or a Roth IRA, either of those options. Any more on that?
No, I don't think so. I think that we covered that pretty well.
Okay. What subject would you like to tackle next?
I think similar to what we just discussed of making an IRA or Roth IRA contribution where you're putting new money in.
Right.
The other thing we're looking at for many of our clients is what's called a Roth conversion. And a Roth conversion is when you take dollars that are currently invested in an IRA, dollars that will be taxed later, and you accelerate that taxation. A lot of people go, wait a minute, why would I want to accelerate taxes? Well, in a down market, you can actually move your IRA over to a Roth IRA. You pay the tax now, and then as the money grows back, it's now in a Roth IRA where that growth has the potential to be tax-free if you hold it for 5 years or more and pass your age 59
and a half. The taxes
have
been paid.
So there's a couple of reasons that we're doing that now for many clients. It could be their personal circumstances. Maybe they're in a phase of life where their income's low. This happens sometimes when a client's retired, but maybe they haven't started their Social Security or pension incomes yet. So their income's in a bit of a trough. So we know their tax brackets are quite low. We also like doing this in a down market because we can convert more shares for dollars. So if I have $10,000 I want to convert, I can get more shares converted now than I could last year because the shares are worth less per share.
And watch them grow.
So, and then when it grows back, it'll grow back on a tax-free basis. And the other factor right now is we know that we're in historically a very low tax situation. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, also known as the Trump Tax Cuts, he's got to put his name on everything. those gave us the benefit of low tax rates right now. In 2026, in the absence of any action by Congress, those rates are going back to what they were before. So we're in an environment where depending on your personal situation, you might be in some of the lowest tax brackets you may see for the rest of your life. So to take the taxes now, move to a Roth IRA while the markets are in decline, and then enjoy the growth whenever that happens, could be in 6 months or 2 years, when the stock market starts to rebound again, you're making gains on a tax-free basis, and then you do not owe tax on that later if you follow the Roth IRA rules. So it's a technique we're using a lot. This is a really important technique where you need to work closely with your tax advisor to make sure that this does make sense and that you're not surprising your tax advisor with new income.
Right.
And a lot of times you're not moving all of your IRA. If you own a large IRA, you may not convert the whole thing. There's often a sweet spot as to how much you convert based on your personal situation. So we do a lot of in-depth planning around this with our clients. And if you have a financial advisor, it's a good question to ask is, hey, am I a candidate for doing a Roth conversion this year? And that's something that does need to be done by December 31st. You can't extend it into April like you can for contributions. New money going in your IRA can go all the way through April and be counted for this year. But Roth conversions, when you switch from an IRA to a Roth, must happen in the calendar year.
Okay, well, and Brian, you've mentioned a couple of times, whether it's talking about a tax advisor or a financial advisor, if for those who do have a financial advisor, how often, and this probably varies, you know, we're talking about year-end considerations as we approach, like you just mentioned, the deadline December 31st for the conversion.
Mm-hmm.
How many times through the year might someone with a financial advisor meet with them to, there's the year end. I'm assuming there's strategies for the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. Really depends on your situation and your complexity, but also what's changing in your life. Personally, we work with our clients twice a year is our general pace, but sometimes we'll have a client we'll meet with five times in a 12-month period because there's a lot going on.
Right.
Death of a spouse or an inheritance or a retirement. Big things are happening in their lives, and then we got a lot of work to do, a lot of conversations. But I'd say at least annually, and then make sure that your advisor is willing to take your call if you have a question like what we're talking about today.
Right.
Or maybe you're not on schedule for a normal review meeting, but maybe you want to call and say, hey, I kind of want to pick your brain on some concepts I heard about and wondering if these might make sense for me.
Right. And a reminder, we mentioned it a couple times during the show, a lot of the topics that people may have those questions about, although it's recommended if they have a financial advisor, they reach out to them for those answers, if they can reach them, like you mentioned. But at johnmoore.com under insights, a lot of those questions might be answered.
Yeah. And this is one of the challenges. There's a lot of different platforms for investing these days. And some of them are what's called robo-advisors, where you put your money in and it gets invested on an automated basis. And those robo-advisors can be significantly less expensive than the services we provide as personal financial advisors. So some people think they're getting true financial advice with those services, when really they're just getting an investment. A lot of the value we add goes beyond the investments. That's part of what we do. We invest in portfolios that we think are wise for our clients. But a lot of the value add, I'd say in many cases, the majority of the value we add is on these types of concepts we're discussing today. So if you have an advisor that just builds a portfolio for you, that's a good start. But what we really recommend is someone who will sit down and discuss your personal goals, your tax situation, and have a strategy that you can continue to revisit and evolve as your needs evolve.
All right, well, we're visiting today with Brian Cochran, the president of John Moore Associates, our Friday financial update, and we're pressing on through 7 year-end planning tips for down markets. We're going to continue right after the break on ABQ Connect.
This is a call to action. I'm Michelle Garcia Holmes, and I'm running for United States Congress. There's so much at stake this election cycle. The life of the unborn, your safety, the cost of living, and most of all, our religious freedom. I'm calling on every Christian from every church to step out of the pews and go to the polls and cast your vote. I ask for your vote. Send a woman of faith to Washington that will protect and stand strong for our values.
Paid for by Garcia Holmes for Congress.
It's that time of year. Kids notice the costume and candy section at the store, and you wonder what you're going to do on October 31st. Well, Calvary Church has you covered. Enjoy Fall Fest this year, Monday night, October 31st, 5:30, at Calvary Church at Osuna and the Westside Calvary Campus. It's a free event and a great opportunity to invite your neighbors for a fun night of candy, games, bounce houses, food trucks, and more. Wear your family-friendly costume. Details at calvarynm.church.
In a culture that's having an identity crisis, it's time for men to man up and be who God designed them to be. Men who look like Jesus get into community and then get into the community.
Join Man Up at Calvary Church for the ministry launch Friday night, November 4th at 6:30. The evening's going to include food, teaching, and connection with God and one another. Welcome to the brotherhood.
You're invited to Man Up. Get more details at calvarynm.church.
Eastern Hills Christian Academy is a Christ-centered private school serving children from preschool through eighth grade. Since 1973, they've been dedicated to providing students a quality education. Eastern Hills Christian Academy is committed to partnering with parents to raise the next generation to be rooted in Scripture and growing in Christ.
My children have been attending Eastern Hills since preschool. The entire staff has created a phenomenal educational program, a safe environment, and a culture where every child is cherished for who they are. The small class sizes allow teachers to give individualized attention to every child, allows them to grow and excel at their strengths, and engages parents, which creates an inclusive environment. It's the best faith-based small school learning environment in Albuquerque.
Still looking? EHCA is still accepting students. EasternHillsChristianAcademy.org. EasternHillsChristianAcademy.org.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. We're in studio today with Brian Cochran. He's the president at John Moore Associates. And today, with the year end coming sooner than most of us would think or imagine, we're looking at seven year end planning tips for down markets. Covered several topics already that'll be available at johnmoore.com under the Insights tab, or you can listen to this program in its entirety again once it's posted at abqconnect.online. Subjects already covered today, consider harvesting tax losses. Take the opportunity to reduce a concentrated position. Consider a Roth IRA conversion, which we just finished with, and just prior to that talked about moving money into an IRA or a Roth IRA, depending on your situation. Brian, looks like reviewing your quarterly estimated tax payments.
Yeah, and this won't apply to everybody. Many of us satisfy our annual tax liability through payroll deduction, but many retired folks and people of higher incomes or small business owners will pay quarterly estimated payments. So once every 3 months, they're writing checks to Santa Fe and to Washington, D.C. We like to say they're one-way checks.
Or maybe contractors.
Contractors tend to do this because there's no payroll to withhold their taxes.
Right.
And what we saw last year is because a lot of people had higher investment income. If you had a lot of stock investments, things that produce capital gains in particular, your CPA may have projected into this year that those gains would continue. So what we've seen a lot of is when we send updated tax situation for this year, which is a much lower income for our investors because the markets are down, a lot of our clients either could reduce or even skip one of their quarterly estimated tax payments because their income is so much lower in 2022 than what they experienced in 2021. So that's a good point of communication with your tax advisor. If you haven't had a similar conversation with your investment advisor or you're managing your own investments, most investment providers, custodians, will provide a bit of a tax snapshot where you can look at where you stand year to date in terms of your capital gains or losses. And you can generate that and send it to your CPA and say, hey, should I make my January 15th estimated payment as planned? So the last estimated payment was in mid-September, and the next one will be in January. So you may be able to skip the January payment and have a little extra money for Christmas shopping this year.
Or putting in a Roth IRA.
put that money somewhere else. But I think that's key, is just a point of communication with your tax advisor to revisit your circumstances and see if maybe you've paid it already as much as you need to pay this year. So that's a trade-off, a positive trade-off of low markets is lower income. So something to work closely with your CPA or tax advisor on, or if you're doing your own personal taxes, just start to run some numbers in your favorite tax planning software. But that's something we've seen very consistently for those who do make quarterly payments.
Brian, part of the reason I know that you wanted to cover this was the landscape that we're in now. I think you described it as, how did you describe the current season?
In terms of the market volatility? Yeah, it's just a challenging market environment. Yeah.
Is there a time when it's not so, if so, how often does something as difficult to navigate, like this come up?
I would say each type of market, up markets, down markets, sideways markets, high inflation, low inflation, every period has its own challenges. So that's a great question, Steve. I think it's a different approach. That's why I think having an ongoing relationship with a financial professional is so important. You know, last year our challenge is, what are we going to do to manage all these capital gains that we're incurring because markets came so strongly off of the March 2020 lows that many of our clients were experiencing high incomes. This year is how do we take advantage of down markets to ensure that your taxes remain low now and going forward. So every market has its own challenges. I'd say the difference with periods like what we're experiencing now is there's always some economic challenges. The numbers can present challenges, but the emotions are what become more difficult to manage when markets are difficult, when they're down. When markets are high, the conversations are positive ones. Oh, right. Look at this abundance we're dealing with, right?
Yeah.
And look at all these opportunities on the upside. Whereas now, you know, people feel fear and concern and no one likes to see their portfolios decline. So they get worried about what that might mean. So we have to make different decisions in any environment, but these are harder conversations. Either way, there's work to be done.
All right. Well, so there's always a good time to reach out to your financial advisor and tax advisor, really, not just tax season. And every season is a financial season.
And what I would note on that is people make the biggest mistakes at the extremes, extreme highs in the markets and extreme lows. So if you look at back in January, we by our measurements, the markets were looking to, you know, like extreme highs. And that's when people tend to get greedy. Everyone's making money. They have the fear of missing out, the classic FOMO. People start to become more speculative. So the decisions you make when markets are very high can really dictate what your experience will be like when the markets turn over. And when we're in the markets where we are now, where markets are quite low, in terms of where, you know, compared to where they were 9 months ago.
Right.
People can tend to fall into despair and that emotion can drive bad decisions. So the extremes are the areas of significant opportunity and oftentimes significant error.
All right. Well, again, today we're covering the 7 year-end planning tips for down markets. We've covered 5 up to this point, and I saw this one coming, Brian, and I have a feeling this is one of your favorites.
Yeah. So the next one is to consider gifting assets, not cash, but assets to family. And this is a specific fit for those who are maybe higher net worth that have a lot of investments where they've identified that they have more than they will need in their lifetime. So sometimes we work with clients where that's right. Part of our process. We say, hey, you have plenty here. Therefore, you might consider giving some of this early, doing your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And so the idea here is rather than waiting until you pass assets to the next generation as an inheritance, start making gifts now. And when things are going well, cash is fine for that. But in down markets, there's a specific advantage to giving appreciated assets. So I can write a check or give assets of $16,000 to anybody, and there's nothing to be reported as long as I stay $16,000 or below.
Has that number changed recently?
It was 15 recently, so they inch it up periodically. Okay. So that could be to you, Steve. It could be to my children. It could be to a friend.
Tax-free to who?
Tax-free to anyone. So I don't get a deduction for it, but the person receiving the assets doesn't have to report it as income, and I don't have to report it on specific estate planning forms that we won't get into today. But the point is there's no disclosure to the IRS if you stay below those limits. So high net worth individuals especially like to do this. But what I like to say is when you're in a down market, what a great opportunity. Again, let's say I had a stock that was, you know, $1,000 a share, Steve, and I wanted to give it to you last January. It was $1,000 a share.
Right.
Then I could give you 16 shares, $1,000 each. That's $16,000. What if that stock just dropped in half and now it's $800 a share? Right. Now I can transfer double that. I can transfer 32 shares. So I can transfer more assets to you while markets are in decline. And now the inheritor, you know, if I'm giving those assets to you, Steve, as a friend or family member, when the market recovers, if it recovers, then you get to enjoy the appreciation of that asset. And that asset is no longer part of my estate as the donor. So that's the key is it gives you a window of opportunity again while markets are down to transfer more shares, more assets to that next generation, if that's what you're looking to do. It does not present a specific, more attractive charitable giving opportunity. If your investments are in decline, you might want to give a little bit of cash. Most of our clients still have assets that are highly appreciated to donate to charities. But the key here is to look at your own situation. And if you've been writing checks to family as a wealth transfer technique, maybe consider giving some stocks this year.
Okay. Now I want to touch on something, and maybe it was a misspoke. You said you as a friend or family member. Is this is limited to gifts to family? Is that correct?
No, it can be to anybody.
It can. Okay.
Yeah.
And is there any advantage to, I mean, you can do up to 16,000. Is there any advantage? I'm probably going to answer my own question. Probably depends on the situation. You have a full year for the 16,000.
Yep.
So instead of a lump, maybe trickling that or, you know, smaller, you know, lumps or.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, like you said, it depends on the situation. If you're trying to support somebody because they're in between jobs, they need money every month, then steady cash flow may be more appropriate. A lot of people are just trying to get this wealth transferred, $16,000, because that's the limit at some point in the year. So they do it as a lump sum. So either way could work. And in terms of friends versus family, we have one wealthy client who has some dear friends she likes to travel with. So she'll give them shares of her stock that she's owned for many years, and her friends sell the stock and they use those funds to travel together.
Right.
So there's ways you can do this. And again, that's more of a high net worth strategy, but for the right people, the right. giving can be powerful.
All right. Well, that gets us through our sixth subject and to our next break. I'm Steve Ryman and you are listening to ABQ Connect. We're visiting today with Brian Cochran, the president of John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com, and the insights tab is where you'll find a lot of the stuff we've been covering today. And we are through six of seven year-end planning tips for down markets. When we come back, we'll go through number seven with Brian Cochran on ABQ Connect.
A portion of the programming heard on KLYT is underwritten by a gift from David and Carol Beth Stewart of Black Bear Medicare. David and Carol Beth are both licensed, independent Medicare brokers and advisors providing no-cost consultation to educate those making decisions about Medicare plans and to clarify Medicare information seen on TV and in the mail. Black Bear Medicare, 505-363-9191. BlackBearMedicare.com, 363-9191.
This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family. The scripture says, some trust in horses and chariots, but we trust in the Lord our God. Now here's a takeaway from that verse. It's unwise to put your faith in power or even politicians. Now voting is your Christian responsibility, but remember, your trust isn't in the process or the outcome, but in the Lord God. Join us in praying for our country and remember to vote.
Eastern Hills Christian Academy is a Christ-centered private school serving children from preschool through eighth grade. Since 1973, they've been dedicated to providing students a quality education. Eastern Hills Christian Academy is committed to partnering with parents to raise the next generation to be rooted in Scripture and growing in Christ.
My children have been attending Eastern Hills since preschool. The entire staff has created a phenomenal educational program, a safe environment, and a culture where every child is cherished for who they are. The small class sizes allow teachers to give individualized attention to every child, allows them to grow and excel at their strengths, and engages parents, which creates an inclusive environment. It's the best faith-based small school learning environment in Albuquerque.
Still looking? EHCA is still accepting students. EasternHillsChristianAcademy.org. EasternHillsChristianAcademy.org.
I'm Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In on KNKT.
Dear God, my first request is for my son, Paul. He's stubborn as a mule.
Why you gotta go and make me feel bad?
Why you gotta eavesdrop?
The new Christian movie, Paul's Promise, now streaming on PureFlix, asks, how do we trust God with our suffering? The story is set in North Little Rock, Arkansas, during the Civil Rights era. There, an elderly woman named Minnie Holderfield is dying of cancer. Meanwhile, her grown son, Paul, struggles to make sense of the pain his faithful Christian mother has endured. Paul's Promise deals with some of life's biggest issues, faith, disappointment, addiction, and forgiveness. An important subplot also addresses racial tension. But none of those complex issues ever stray beyond this pick's PG rating. So we're giving Paul's Promise a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
And we are visiting today with The president of John Moore Associates, Brian Cochran, is in studio. You know, every Friday, typically the final segment of the day, we visit with Brian and always have some, he always brings some great insight. And we hope you'll tune in every week for the Friday financial update with Brian Cochran of John Moore Associates. And a reminder, the content that we talk about today and often the content we talk about every week, is available on the insights tab at johnmoore.com. All right, Brian, we've made it through, six of seven subjects, as you consider the 7 year, year-end planning tips for down markets. And let me recap what we've gone through so far. Subject one was to consider harvesting tax losses. Brian, as I go through this, just in a sentence or two, for those who missed, maybe recap what each of these subjects are.
Yeah.
Consider harvesting tax losses.
So that's the idea of selling investments that are down in value so you can write off the tax loss.
And then take the opportunity to reduce a concentrated position.
Yep. So these are pieces of your portfolio that are, you know, too great a portion that under diversify your portfolio. So selling them now while they're in decline where the gains may be less and then moving them to a more diversified posture.
All right. And some of those diversified postures are the next subjects, considering a Roth IRA conversion.
Yep, moving from an IRA to a Roth IRA while markets are down and paying the taxes now so that you have potential for tax-free growth.
And then we actually went from concentrated position discussion right into the IRA and Roth IRA contributions if you're going to diversify those what's concentrated.
Yep.
Let's see, the next subject was reviewing your quarterly estimated tax payments.
Yep. Working with your CPA there to understand that this year's income may be lower than last year's and you may not need to make the full estimated payment that you expected for January.
And then consider gifting assets to family. There's something you can do annually.
Mm-hmm. So the $16,000 limit applies here per person, but this is an opportunity to shift now depreciated assets over to family where it can grow back in their estate and under their name.
And you gift it to them tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who doesn't want to do that? And now number seven, our final tip of the day, engage a financial planner if you don't have one. We talked about that already a little bit.
Yeah, and this would be financial planner or tax advisor in particular. And the idea here is there's some seasonality to the world of finance. For example, tax advisors are everyone knows April 15th is a big day for them, but also October 15th is a big date. So what we often find is our tax advisors that we work with are most willing and able to work with new customers between the months of kind of mid-October and mid-January or so. Once they start getting into February, March, and April, of course, their heads are down completing taxes up to the April 15th deadline. So if you are looking for a tax advisor or looking to change tax advisors, a lot of people wait until they have all their tax documents in February and March. That's too late.
Right.
It's best to go introduce yourself, interview tax advisors now while they have time and they can give you their full attention. And maybe they can help you with some of these year-end strategies we've discussed today. So you're closing out 2022 with any opportunities at hand. And then when you get to April next year and you need to be filing your taxes, you already have that relationship. And the same is true for many financial advisors. We tend to get a little bit busier during the tax season. We also do a lot of year-end planning with clients. So, you know, we're always pretty steady. But if you want to make sure you're not missing any of these opportunities or other opportunities that are tax year sensitive that need to be done by December 31st, what I'd recommend is this is a great time to reach out. If you've been procrastinating on that, this is the time to act.
All right. Well, first of all, Brian, thanks so much for putting together for all of us something to consider as we head into the final weeks, believe it or not, the final weeks of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You turn around and it's gone. But we've covered 7 year-end planning tips, for down markets and we're in one. When are we not going to be then in it? When will it be considered we're not in a down market? When we get back to where the stock market was?
People have different measurements on that.
Yeah.
You know, we like to see those lows be put in and then start to move higher. And I think the key theme here, Steve, with all of these concepts is that we see that investors, you know, families, they want to act. They see the down markets. They want to do something. I find this is particularly true with business owners who are used to seeing a problem and having the ability to move towards a solution to act. And the challenge with investing in particular is often the best response is to do nothing.
That's kind of what it's
not about being ignorant, but if you have a properly diversified portfolio to start with, you need to do very little. And so what I like about these seven things we've talked about is they're all actions you can take that are constructive. They're not going to set you back. And I can't tell you how many clients we've met for the first time because they went through a down market, whether it's 2008, 2011, 2015, 16. We had some down markets, 2020. These things happen where they made a mistake. They were managing their own money and they did something. They felt like they needed to do something. And the only action you can often take in a down market is to sell the investments you have while they're low. And then they end up buying them back at a higher price, which is not a good formula for building wealth. So the key thing there is to know what you can control and know what you can. I like to go back to the old serenity prayer, which I think is really captures this. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And so when we pray every week in our investment meetings, we pray for God's wisdom. We don't pray for better markets or smarter politicians or, you know, higher stock prices. We pray for wisdom. And I think this is what we should all be thinking right now. If you're feeling economic stress, is God, show me what can I do that would be positive in my stewardship and help me avoid trying to get into the things that I cannot change. Because those things you cannot change often bring the most stress and the most pressure. And they're things that we just can't do anything. I can't do anything about what politicians might do aside from my voting every couple of years. I can't do anything about what the stock market's doing. All I can control is my response. And so these things we talked about today are all positive ways to respond to a negative economic situation that we're facing here in 2022.
And Brian, just with the couple minutes that we have left, and by the way, we've been visiting with Brian Cochran, the president of John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com, and you'll go to the Insights tab to find a lot of the things we've been talking about today. As people go through the season we're coming up on, it's often a time of year where people are philanthropic, and I know that you encourage that. How would you encourage someone to wisely consider where they might do that this season?
Yeah, so I think to be prayerful about it is the first thing. If you have a spouse, be in communication about it. And then third, think about where God's calling you. What is your specific interest or purpose in terms of where you'd like to see action, whether it's a clothing bank, a food bank, shelter, global missions and ministries there. You know, there's a lot of things. What is God putting on your heart? And I think if you think and pray on it enough, you will have an abundance of good options available. And we're so blessed here, as you know, you interview these people all the time. We have fabulous leaders of incredible organizations locally, so you don't have to go far. And then we have local organizations that have global scope.
Right.
You know, I think of Faith Comes By Hearing, you know, always comes to mind with that. I mean, global leader in outreach and bringing God's word to communities all over the world. So, you know, there's the opportunities are there.
Yeah.
And I think what I would challenge people as you get through the end of the year is think about giving sacrificially. What will you give up?
Right.
So that someone else can have an opportunity to hear God's word or to have a warm meal or to have new clothes, things like that. Because to me, generosity is giving that reaches the point of being sacrificial, that you are actually living without something so somebody else has more.
Well, we mentioned the Insights tab at johnmoore.com several times during today's broadcast. And here we got it live in studio. Some great insight, Brian. Thanks for your time today.
Always my pleasure.
All right. Well, have a good weekend and be safe. Do plan to join us every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock on ABQ Connect. Look for the archived shows at abqconnect.online.
Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.